Chuck Swindoll one time wrote this. In fact, I remember years ago I had it in my office, tacked to the wall. And here's what Chuck Swindoll had to say. He said, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past. It's more important than education, money, than circumstances. It's more important than failure, than successes, than what other people think or say about us. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, or a home. The remarkable thing about attitude is that we have that choice every single day regarding the attitude that we'll embrace for that day. We cannot change the past," he says. That's not going to change. "We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing that we can do is play on that one string that we have. And that's our attitude." Mr. Swindoll goes on and says, "I am convinced that 10% of what happens to me and 90% is how I react to it. And so it is with you and me. We are in charge of our attitudes." I like that a lot. I have both a good attitude and a bad attitude since I saw you the last time. I told you that my wife is out in British Columbia and I'm having to batch it. And my brother's with me this morning, and he always shows up right at supper time. So he's been taking great interest in watching me thaw food out and put it in the microwave. I'm not kidding you on this. I'm about as useless as they come. I was running short of short sleeve shirts, and I thought, what now? So I went into the laundry room, and I looked at all the buttons, and none of them made sense. So I thought, well, I need shirts. So I went and bought two new shirts. This is one of them. I'm sure you'll agree that I am a fashion statement. But nonetheless, I bought two new shirts, and I took three of my dirty shirts to the dry cleaners. Well, they weren't going to be ready till Thursday. So I was getting a little anxious, to say the least. So I had to look at my attitude. Did you ever think, Earl, did they have that picture? Just recently, I posted this one on my Facebook page. It's not hilarious, but it certainly is truth. Look at the people lined up in the complaints column. And in the gratitude aisle, there's not a soul there. And I thought, that kind of explains what I want to talk about this morning. Did you ever think that your attitude about gratitude, and I think that's another Chuck Swindoll saying, your attitude about gratitude can really change us. So we have to always keep in mind that when we are thankful, when we are praiseworthy, this gives you and I great power in giving honor to God. And I think if I look around this sanctuary this morning, many of you live that truth out each and every day. You know, the Bible is filled with examples of praise when we see His power released. There's life-changing miracles that happen when we give praise to God. There's dramatic stories of the enemy being halted in the spot and defeated. Hearts are being changed and drawn closer to Him. Oh man, last Sunday after church, I went, and there's a few of us went out to, what's the name of the place?
A&W.
What was it?
A&W.
A&W. Earl says, it's only 3 blocks from here. It's the longest 3 blocks I've ever seen in my life. So we get there, but I was sitting with Ty White. And I heard part of his story at lunch. Ty, of course, was just baptized here a few weeks ago. And he was telling me that if I went on the First Baptist website, I could hear his testimony. So, the one night of many that my brother came over for supper, the both of us listened to this incredible, incredible testimony. That's what happens when we give praise to an all-powerful God. All those verses of Scripture. Psalm 91, 1 to 3. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And as Susan was reading this morning from Psalm 100, enter His gates with thanksgiving. How many times have we sung that one here in this church? Giving thanks. Giving thanks. And of course, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. Then Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Then it goes on to say, I will give thanks to You, Lord, with all my heart. And I will tell of all Your wonderful deeds. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to His righteousness, as we see in Psalm 7 and 17. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Now let me just give you a couple of more. I mean, you got to be kicking your heels a little bit by this time. Let me just add a little more kindling to the fire. I love this one. Let your roots grow down into Him. And let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught. And you will overflow with thankfulness. Remember in the New Testament, back in the Gospel of Luke, we read the story about the thankful leper. You see, here Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem. And of course, there were throngs of people wherever Jesus was traveling. Then they went through this rather small village. And in this small village, with all these people around Jesus, there were 10 lepers. But they weren't mingling with all the other people, because being lepers, they had to stay away. They had to be a distance from everyone else. And that they were. But these lepers knew who Jesus was. Not only knew who He was, but they also knew the power that Jesus had as well. So These 10 lepers from a distance, don't forget, were yelling, putting their hands up in the air. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Have mercy on us, Jesus. They didn't even know if their voices could be heard because of all the other people, I'm sure. But have mercy on us. Then Jesus told them that what they should do is go to the priest, the one who could declare them healed from this awful disease. And when they arrived at the priest, they were made clean from their leprosy. Isn't it something else? Of the 10 lepers, only one came back to thank Jesus. He came to Jesus' feet. He bowed down. He bowed down before the Savior to show his gratitude for what he had done. Jesus says, well, you know, I thought there were 10 lepers. I thought 10 lepers would be coming back and saying, thank you. And even though many people today, even many people are touched by the hand of Jesus, but so, so few give him the praise and the glory that he deserves. I had a personal thing happen to me one time. I was speaking up in North Bay. And while I was driving up Highway number 11, I just didn't feel content in my soul. I didn't know if it was, I kind of thought, I don't know if I put enough preparation in my message to deliver it properly today. Or maybe I was just plain lethargic that day. All I know that I can share with you today is that I had a very, very unsettled soul. I found myself praying all the way up to North Bay, praying that God would intervene and give me the words to speak. I pleaded with God to take away that anxiety that I was experiencing. Now, to shorten this story, my wife would say that would be an impossibility, but I will. To shorten my story, I made it safely to the church. I gave the sermon, and the Lord gave me the words that day. They had a luncheon for me afterwards. Now I was on my way home, back down Highway number 11. Finally, when I had the radio turned on and I was singing to my heart's content, probably some old cowboy song, when I reached Orillia, I'll tell you, I was totally exhausted. And I couldn't get into my PJs and then into my lazy boy chair fast enough for that famous Sunday afternoon nap. Well, I don't have a nap. I mean, they're all out sleeps. They're deep sleeps. Well, I slept till about supper time when my wife called. And then, folks, at that time, it hit me. All the time that I spent driving that morning, praying and pleading to God to help me, and he did help me. He answered my prayers. On the trip home, I was singing to the radio. I went and got into my PJs, had a wonderful sleep, and not once in that time did I say, thank you, Lord. I pleaded with you going up the highway. But you answered my prayers, and I was so delinquent in saying thank you. That might sound like a rather simple story, and I guess it is. But you'll never know how many times God allows that story to regurgitate within my own heart, to remind me of that very day. So I've always tried and will continue to try to give thanks many times through the day. But that one day, God has never, ever let me forget it. In 2 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Did you get that? "For everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That gets real personal, doesn't it? Concerning you. You can't get around that. Paul tells the Thessalonian believers that God's will for them is to be thankful. I mean, you and I, we want our children and our grandchildren to show gratitude to us and to others. Well, God wants the very, very same from you and I. You might ask, well, how can I be thankful when bad things, ugly things happen in our lives? At times when there has been a great injustice done, or something horrible and vile has taken place. How are we supposed to be thankful in cases like these? Well, friends, we can grieve and still be thankful. We can hurt and still be thankful. We can be angry at sin and still be thankful towards God. That's what the Bible calls the sacrifice of praise. And that verse out of Hebrews goes on to say, "The fruit of our lips should be giving thanks to His name." We're not only to be thankful for the things that we like, but for the circumstances that we don't like. But there is a component also that you and I need to consider. Someone once said that it takes 30 days to make something to be habit forming. And it takes 30 days to break a habit. I don't know if that was just fancy writing, but I'm inclined to believe that it's true. I think you can make or break a habit in 30 days. So if you and I, start a habit of giving thanks to God regularly through the day, every day, then very soon it will become automatic and natural in our everyday life. From the time that we wake up in the morning until our heads hit the pillow at night. And when we purpose, and I chose that word on purpose, when we purpose to show gratitude to God for everything that He allows to come into our lives, what happens? What happens when we purpose to give gratitude? We keep bitterness at bay. That's what happens. We cannot be both thankful and bitter at the same time. I'm not suggesting that we thank Him for evil. I'm not saying that at all. But we should be thanking Him for sustaining us through it. James 1:12 will tell you that. Remember Paul's thorn in the flesh. We remember that one. Paul's thorn in the flesh from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Can you remember that story well enough that Paul pleaded? That's a strong word. Paul pleaded with the Lord that thorn be lifted. And then Jesus said to the apostle, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is perfect in weakness." We thank Him for all His promises, all the things that work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. But there's another point that I'd like to make today, and that's giving thanks to God, really does keep our hearts in a right relationship with God and saves us from a host of harmful emotions and attitudes that will do nothing but rob us of the peace of God that He wants us to experience. This past couple of weeks with my wife away, I fell into this trap. I've already told you about my shirts. What I haven't told you about is my socks and my underwear. I thought, well, this can't be all that bad. It can't be all that bad. So I take my socks and my underwear into the bathroom, and the sink was there. I go back and I put the socks and underwear in the sink, and I go back to the kitchen sink, and I look underneath the cupboard, and sure enough, there was some dish soap. Well, I thought, if it can clean dishes, it can sure do a good job on my socks and underwear. So I go back into the bathroom, and I got this great big bottle of green stuff soap in it, and I go, oh, that should be enough. Turn the hot water on, and there I go. You know, my hands in there, you know, just like kneading bread or dough. And I was getting them all clean, getting them all clean, clean, you know, like dip, dip, dip in new blue cheer, dip, dip, dip in water clear. Smells as clean as a rose. Well, I started to notice something, that the bubbles were getting rather numerous, to say the least. Friends, I'll tell you, I had bubbles at least three times the height of the sink or the bowl itself. So what do I do now? I had to go and rinse them all out, get all the soap out of the socks and underwear, take them to the dryer. Now, this dryer, don't forget, I had given up on it. But at the condominium, you're not supposed to hang your socks and underwear on the balcony. The neighbors seem to get fussy about things like that. But anyway, I went back to the dryer, and there were seven buttons on the dryer. Seven buttons. So I got my glasses and I put them on, and there was one of the seven buttons that said start. I pushed that button and sure enough it started. Why, I ask in my feeble mind, why do these companies, these manufacturers, need to put seven buttons when you could get away with two? A start and a stop. So I got it done. Then last night I thought, well, it was in a package, this shirt. I've got to learn how to use the iron. Oh, wonder the place didn't burn down. This is embarrassing. But I had to call my wife out in BC. I tell you, I had to call my wife in BC and how to turn the iron on. Now, when I said I'm useless, folks, I forewarned you. Feeling and expressing appreciation is good for us. It's in our best interest to be reminded that everything that we have is a gift from Him. And without gratefulness, we become arrogant. We become self-centered, narcissistic. We begin to believe that what we have, we've done it all on our own. Be thankful. Be thankful. It keeps our hearts in a right relationship to the giver of all good gifts. You see, we human beings are prone to covetousness. We tend to focus on what we don't have. But by giving thanks continually, we are reminded just how much we really, truly have. And when we start thanking God for these things, we can expect some wonderful things in return. Let's be honest. Sometimes you and I just don't feel up to it to give thanks. So maybe a little bit later in the day when I'm feeling better. But we put it off. We put it off. A few moments ago, I was talking about the sacrifice of praise. But sometimes it is a sacrifice to offer praise. We might not feel like it. We're struggling. We're weary. Or maybe we just feel that God has let us down, that God seems to be so distant. We think that he's too far away. Does he really care about us? Those painful blows, friends, sometimes we go through them. And that can really set us spiraling. But here's what we can do to make a lasting difference. Grace, you pay attention. I want you to sing a song. Just the chorus, and you all know it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the veins of earth will grow strangely dim by the light of his glory and grace. When we make that decision to fix our eyes on him and daily give him praise, no matter what's staring back at us, we suddenly realize that God has already begun to release the grip of those struggles. So let us practice on a daily basis acknowledging him and give him the praise that only he is worthy of. Let us pray. Well, Lord, here we are gathered another Sunday morning. And we thank you for this opportunity in this land that we live, that we can come and worship Jesus, that we can come and encourage one another to come and say thank you to you. As we know that many countries around the world don't have that same liberty. Thank you for your amazing power and the work that you do in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and for your blessings over us. Thank you that you are able to bring hope through even the toughest of times. Strengthen us, Lord. Forgive us for those times when we don't thank you. Lord, do a work in our hearts. We don't know about this 30-day getting rid of a habit or creating something to be habit forming. But Lord, there's got to be a degree of truth in that. May we all be challenged this morning to do that for the next 30 years so it becomes part of our everyday routine in our Christian walk. I thank you for those that are gathered here this morning. Continue to pray for Pastor Smart and the trust that he has put in me over the years to come and preach here so many times. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.